Don't you want to give the worship team a nice hand? We never take for granted what you guys do, okay? We really appreciate all of you. Cool. Thank you very much. It is a big privilege tonight to welcome a guest speaker. His name is Pastor Johan Potgieter. Yeah, Johan, you can come to the front. I've known Pastor Johan since 1998. I met him for the first time. Pastor Johan prophesied over me, and he gave me classes when we studied theology. And I want you guys to open your hearts, open your ears, because some of the things he shared then, I still remember now. So when he speaks, the Lord really anoints him. So I want to pray for him as he shares with us tonight. Father, thank you that Pastor Johan is here to share with us tonight. I pray that you will bless him as he shares. I pray that your anointing will rest thick on him right now. I pray that our hearts will be open to receive what he shares with us, and that he'll enjoy giving your word through to us tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Gideon. I feel so welcome here. It's great to be here with everyone, and I must tell you, I'm very excited about what I'm going to share tonight with you. So we're in for a treat. Just the worship was amazing. Just want to congratulate you guys in terms of not only the worship up here, but you guys are the worshipers. And I like that part which said, our passion brings you fame. And I saw a lot of passion here tonight. So go for it, you guys, go for it. I saw a lot of passion. Place is loaded. Loaded with passion. I can still remember the morning in September last year when I was just thinking about one of our friends that won a trip. They could choose a trip to any one of the seven modern wonders of the world. Now, can you imagine that? All expenses paid, everything. And so I was thinking, you know, in terms of that, would I like to go to the Great Wall in China, or the Maya ruins in Mexico, or Petra in Jordan, or the Machu Picchu in Peru? I know Pastor Luis has been, and he said, I asked him beforehand, I said, have you been here? He said, of course. No, sir. He comes from Peru. Or the Great Colosseum in Rome, or the Taj Mahal in India, or Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio. Wow, what a list. And what was on my bucket list always was the Taj Mahal. Now, the Taj Mahal, let me just tell you a little bit about the Taj Mahal. It is a very romantic place. Very romantic place. And I always thought I would love to take my wife to the Taj Mahal. Because the king, the king in northern India, he loved his wife so much that when she died, he built a tomb. But this tomb was actually a palace. It was actually a palace. It took him 20 years to build this palace. And right in the middle, it's his wife's tomb. And so he built this palace as an expression of his love for his wife. And so it's always been a romantic place, and people, you know, go there. And I thought it would be wonderful if we can go on our anniversary. We've been married now, last year, 29 years. And I thought, come on. I'm still in love. 29 years. And I thought it would be wonderful if I can take my wife, Electa, to see the Taj Mahal on our anniversary. And I was just thinking, you know, it's wonderful. My friend won these tickets and so on and so on. And then as I was wondering about this, suddenly I just heard this quiet, still, small voice challenging me. So why don't you? Yo. I said, that's not what I expected. You know, the Lord was challenging me. Why don't you? So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm taking this up. I'm taking up the challenge. And even if I have to sell some stuff, I'm going. I'm going to India. And we did. We did. We bought the tickets. We went. I tell you, what a journey. Our plan was on the 28th of November to be at the Taj Mahal. That was our anniversary date. The rest of it was journey. We could, like, divert and do anything like we We wanted to. There's two things in India that we wanted to do. The one is to go by train, by night train, from one city to the other. Always wanted to sleep in like an Indian train. Have you been at Taj Mahal? You've been at the. And the other thing that I wanted to do that is to go and watch a Bollywood movie in India without English subtitles. And so we did both. We ended up in Mumbai, and from Mumbai we went to the north of India, took the night train. What an experience. I tell you what, that was quite an experience. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was wonderful. And then at the end, we ended up in Delhi, right in the north. And then we wanted to go to Accra. And in Delhi, we went to watch a Bollywood movie. I tell you what, I had to convince the guy selling the tickets that I want to watch the movie. I said to him, I like to watch this movie. He said to me, but there's no English subtitles. So I said, I know there's no English subtitles. I like to watch the Bollywood movie. Yeah, but I can't sell you these tickets, you know. There's no English subtitle. I said, I like to watch a Bollywood movie. And eventually he sold it to us. And what an experience. We watched the, didn't understand a lot, but we watched the Bollywood movie. It was, afterwards, when we got back to South Africa, we went to Rosebank to go and watch it again with English subtitles this time. Just to exactly know what went on in that movie. But what a wonderful experience it was. And so on the 28th of November, we took the early train. It was quite a challenge to get those train tickets. We took the early train, and we ended up in Accra, right up there, and we went to see the Taj Mahal. And as we went into the Taj Mahal, there was these brown buildings in front. You know, it looks like a little castle. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, this is a Taj Mahal. I never expected to be like this, you know, but it's wonderful to be here. And then I thought, okay, you know, this was it. This was it. One, seven wonders of the world. Yeah, okay. This is a. And then that was the entrance. We went through this brown building, and wow, you can go and Google it. The most beautiful palace, the most beautiful building that, well, I've ever seen. It was just a marble delight. It took him 20 years, and I can see why. It looked so nice. And we spent our anniversary at the Taj Mahal. And it was great. And I was thinking of this story when I prepared for tonight. And I thought, you know what? That was a wonderful desire that God has given me. And He fulfilled. He helped me to fulfill that desire. See, because God gives you the desires of your heart. But He also gives you the ability to fulfill those desires. He won't give you a desire that you don't have the ability to fulfill. And so if it's a God-given desire, He will give you the ability to fulfill that desire. And so I was thinking about that. And that was a wonderful, and it's a wonderful and a great story. But you know what? There's even greater stories right here. There's a wonderful stories in terms that God has got a plan and a purpose for each one of you tonight. He's got a wonderful plan, a beautiful plan. He wants you to journey in this life towards what God has for you. And I'll be reading at the moment in the book of Acts. We're following the book of the different chapters. Today is the 26th. So today, Acts 26, verse 12. From verse 12 on, I'd like to read that about Paul. Paul that discovered and obeyed his heavenly vision. That's also the topic for tonight is discovering and obeying your heavenly vision. In Acts 26, verse 12, I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. You can just listen. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me, in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get on your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. And so King Agrippa, because he was talking to King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I obeyed that vision from heaven. And I believe there's a vision from heaven for every one of us. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone, from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that this Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to the Jews and Gentiles alike. Suddenly Festus shouted, "Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy." Where's all the students? Okay. But Paul replied, "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus. What I'm saying is the sober truth, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I'm sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Agrippa interrupted him, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Isn't that a wonderful story? Here we have a man that followed God's heavenly vision for him. You see, we bring the kingdom of God on earth as we obey the heavenly will. And as we obey his heavenly vision, we express his will on earth. And that's how the kingdom comes. And so I would like just to encourage everyone here tonight that you have a vision. You have a heavenly vision. And God wants to reveal his general and his specific will to all of us. Every Christian has a Damascus experience. Every one of us. If you're a Christian, you have a heavenly vision from the Lord. His general will, "Go and make disciples. All authority has been given to me. Go." That's a general commission. But in that, there's certain delegated authority that God gives to each one of us. "All authority has been given to me," which means that I have authority over business. I have authority over law. I have authority over the medical field. I have authority over entertainment. I have authority over politics. Now you go wherever I'm sending you, and I will delegate my authority to you, and you will be a force to be reckoned with in your field that God is sending you to. You see, we have delegated authority from Jesus in the field that God has sent us to. And so if you're a teacher and you want to operate on somebody, guess what? There's no delegated authority. There's no. But if you are a surgeon and you operate, you can do it with boldness because you have delegated authority. And so go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, in your field where you are, in the classroom, in wherever you are busy making disciples. You're going with the delegated authority that Jesus has for you. Isn't that wonderful? So you go in the name of Jesus. You go in his wonderful name. And also the Lord will reveal to you and to me more of his will, what God has for us. His dreams, his purposes, his will that he has in that. And there's a couple of realities that we will find along the way. And Paul discovered those realities. "Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy." You see, when you follow God's plan for your life, some people will say, "You are crazy." I remember when we friends came to us and said, so where do you want to go for your anniversary? I would like to go to India. You are crazy, man. Would you like to go and have a holiday in India? Yes. You're crazy. You see, because people have certain perspectives. We enjoyed India. It was wonderful to us. It was great. But you see, some people will call you crazy. They will say, your vision, your plan, what you like to do, man, you're crazy. Your friends will call you crazy. Your enemies like to arrest and kill you. Because that's what happened here with Paul. You see, your vision will sometimes get you into trouble. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. And so you may end up in places which is uncomfortable, sometimes a little bit dangerous. Sometimes you've got to deal with rejection. When you follow your heavenly vision, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. But God will protect you along the way. Now, Electa, myself, we are the pastors. We've been appointed pastors over Centurion. And the other day where's all the Centurion people? Yes, okay, that was just a little ad. So the other day I was reading in the newspaper that they've had five people were killed in Olivenhoutsbos. Olivenhoutsbos is like an informal settlement in Centurion. So as I was reading this article in the newspaper, my heart really went out to the people there, and I saw the one brother there. His brother was killed. And I said to myself, you know, I would like to just go, what can I do? I like to go and pray for the people. So I phoned a pastor who's living in that area, and I said, do you have a connection in that place? He said, yes. I said, can't we just go and pray for some of the family? I don't know what to do, but at least we just go and give our condolences. And so he set us up. We went. We met a local pastor, and we went now into this informal settlement. I tell you what, as we were going into this informal settlement, people were looking at us because it's now quite a place where there was now shooting and stuff like that and so on. And they were just looking at us as we just drove past. And a local pastor said, you know, this Shabin over here, this is where the brother was killed. Okay. Drove a little bit further. You see this little car over here, little white Mazda Mitch, this was involved in the shooting. You know, it's got like holes in it and so on. Oh, okay. And then we stopped the car, climbed out just behind this little Mitch. We walked into this small little alleyway, got into this small room, and the family was waiting for us. Now, by this time, you know, I was praying a little bit in spirit. I was sitting there, and can I tell you something? I wasn't very spiritual at that stage. I was thinking I should WhatsApp Electa, please pray. You know, because now this brother was explaining. He said, you know, my brother was shot because he recognized some of the gang members. Now, I know some of the gang members. So these guys will now come for me and for my family. And so we were sitting there. And then every time a door opened somewhere, the whole family was looking up like this, and we were sitting and watching this family, you know, and we would say, we will pray for you and so on. And the other pastor was sharing how, you know, they must give this to the Lord and so on, and wonderful. And I was thinking, I should have left my wallet at home. Not very spiritual, Gideon. What am I going to do with my cell phone? Thinking myself, it's time I lose more weight so that I can get this ring off my finger. You know, so it can easily slip off my finger if somebody wants it, you know. That's the type of thoughts that came to me. But eventually, eventually, we prayed for the family. It was a great blessing. It was a great blessing. And then as we walked out with them, we got to that little white Mazda Mitch. I don't know where that car came from, but the bumper sticker said, 100% Boer. So we're walking past, and my colleague, he said, 100% Boer. And the guy that was taking out the window, there's a guy already taking out the window and replacing it with a new window. And I'll never forget this. He took out the window, and as he was standing with the new window, he heard us say, 100% boer. And he looked at us like this, and he had this funny kind of laugh. You know. He said, a boer maak 'n plan. Oh, my goodness. We jumped into the car and we drove out. But I tell you what, your heavenly vision will take you to places where you will feel uncomfortable in, but God will protect you. If you're in the will of God, God will protect you no matter where you are. Just be in the will of God. Amen. And so I'd like to encourage you tonight that God has got a vision for each one of us, a heavenly vision, which means that it's locked up in heaven. It's secure. Nobody can take it away. Nobody can steal it. It's there for you. And he wants to reveal his heavenly vision to you and to me more and more as we journey through life. How does God do that? Well, he does it through scripture. I remember when I was 17 years old, I said, God, what should I do in life? And I was praying about, you know, becoming a pastor and or should I go to university and do something else and so on. And I remember as I was reading through the book of Hebrews, suddenly something jumped up there. It was just like jumping up. Scripture jumped up to me that said, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, the local church, you will praise me. Here am I and the children God will still give to me. Now that jumped up to me and I knew God was calling me into a specific area. So God speaks through scripture, and I'm sure lots of you can testify about that. And it may seem like scripture out of context, but it's in context for you. It's in context for you. So as you read the Bible, listen to what God wants to say to you specifically. Don't just read the Bible because it's the next chapter and you've got to work through your list. Read the Bible with an expectation that God will speak to you. God also speaks to you through his personal voice. Journal. I don't know how many of you journal. It's been one of the best decisions I've ever made is to get myself a journal. And that journal is only for me. I don't show my journal to anybody. To nobody sees my journal because I'm writing what I sense God is saying to me in that journal. And I need to be able to make mistakes. So I'm writing whatever I sense God is saying to me and journal. But to go back in that journal and to read through that journal has been such a blessing and has helped me and has guided me along so many years. And so if you don't have a journal, get a journal. And when you feel that God is speaking to you, write down. If there's a prophetic word, write it down because our memories are so short. I don't know about you, but it's so easy to forget. Somebody give you a great word right now. In 2 weeks' time, you can't remember what was the word. You've got to write it down. You've got to write it down. And so God speaks through the prophetic words. And there's also, I call it destiny DNA. That includes your talents, your gifts, your upbringing, your background, your resources that you have, the connections that you have. All of those things are destiny DNA. And those are small little hints of God's heavenly vision for you. And so to go and sit and say, Lord, what have you placed in my hands? Lord, you've surrounded me with these people. Lord, I'm in this situation. This is my opportunity. All of these things, these are my gifts, my talents, and so on and so on. These are destiny DNA. Paul was on a mission. He went to Damascus, and God just used that kind of DNA, destiny DNA, to turn him around. He's always been a missionary. He went from place to place to arrest the people of God, to arrest believers. God said, now I'm turning you around. You will go from place to place to rescue people for me. And so there's destiny DNA in each one of us. In conclusion, I would like to say to everyone here that just keep on discovering God's heavenly vision for you. Keep on discovering and then obey that heavenly vision. And may the Lord, through tonight's word, just stir a hunger in each one of us to say, yes, Lord, I want to be obedient to your heavenly vision. I want to be obedient to that. Amen. Amen. And so I would like to pray for you tonight. If that is something that has been stirred right now in your heart, you sense the Holy Spirit has done something in my heart, making me hungry to go and search again, making me hungry to go and look for those promises and to delve in and to kind of discover God's heavenly vision, then I would like to pray for you. And if you can stand, then let's just all pray and trust the Lord that the Lord will just stir that hunger and bring a clarity in our lives. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that you journey with each one of us. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord, you are so real. You are so real. And tonight, Lord, we ask that you will just ignite again a hunger in our hearts, a passion to obey you, to seek your will and to obey you, Lord, no matter what. Lord, not to sacrifice, to move forward, to go and dare things, to be courageous, to take the next step forward. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is with us. And you said that you will be with us all the way. And so tonight, Lord, we open our hearts. We open ourselves, Lord, and we say, reveal your heavenly vision to us, Lord. Reveal your heavenly vision to us. Make it clear to us. Even if people don't understand it, Lord, even if people just around us just hear a sound, Lord, help me to hear it clearly, to hear your voice clearly, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone say, amen. God bless you. It was wonderful to be here with you tonight.